everybody, and welcome to another episode of Rider Club Radio. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And as always, we watched one good show and one bad show. We watched Kamen Rider Ghost, episode 49, and Animal Sentai Juojir, episode 30. I'll leave it up to you to figure out which is which.
So this week on Ghost, the Gritizer, it opens...
I didn't ask you what happens in this episode yet.
Oh, wow, okay.
What an idiot. We have a format, Liam.
Okay, fucking go. Just go.
Okay, in this episode of Ghost, I'm not actually going to say the thing.
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
You tell us.
Don't
you remember what happens, so tell us.
Don't ever touch me. So the Gritizer appears, and he says, oh, I am a robot. Beep, boop, humans are the worst. And he goes to the real world. And obviously,
doesn't this remind you of something?
Yeah, a little bit. Anyway, Shibuya and Narita can't do shit. He flies through the roof. He flies into the real world, and they fly over, and he turns night to day because they don't want to do a night scene. And they start fighting a bunch of mooks, and the Gritizer runs off, and the other two riders are, the Necrom and Spectre are there, and they're like, Ghost, you gotta go fight the Gritizer, because you're the main character, we'll fight these mooks. So he flies off, and they fly off, and then fucking Genom appears, and he appears exactly the way I wanted him to, well, mostly.
I was giggling the whole fucking scene.
He runs in and starts kicking people, and then pulls out a sick BMX bike and starts doing handle spins and hitting people with the wheel. And he kills everybody and just makes complete fools out of the other two riders.
It was beautiful.
It was hysterical. But that
and
shit happens.
And there's all kinds of fucking giant text on the screen and like 90s fucking, I don't even know, like marker special effects in the
air. It looks like a commercial for like a Super Soaker.
It looks like a Skechers commercial.
Yeah, that's it. So that happens. He rides off on his bike. His little bike. His sick trick bike. And Takeru fights the Gritizer on a roof, but it beats the shit out of him. And he falls down, and the Gritizer starts eating everyone's souls.
The Gritizer turns into a giant CGI abomination first.
Turns into an awful CGI monster at the center of Tokyo.
One of the worst I've ever seen.
Really, some of the worst special effects in Rider history, I think.
I've seen things in Reboot that look better than that.
So he starts eating people's souls with he shoots a big laser and he eats everyone's souls. And the other riders get smoked by him. And no one can escape. Everyone's getting their souls eaten. So Ghost, he thinks about his mom, who died. Remember
Javert
her?
Shows up first. And
oh, yeah,
he literally leaps into the frame and knocks,
Necrom.
Knocks Necrom out of the way and gets hit by the beam, and he gives, like, a weird little soliloquy that's completely out of place during the scene and dies.
Yeah, so you remember Javert? There he's back. He sacrifices himself.
I imagine the target demographic of the show, they don't remember Javert at all.
So Takeru, while all this is happening, is lying on a rooftop with blood all over his face, and he's remembering his mother, who died when he was a baby, but he remembers her very vividly for some reason.
He remembers her before he was out of her stomach.
I think he has a
perfect memory of that scene.
I think it's from the dad icon that's given him the memories. I think that's what's happening. Because, you know, he can touch people, right? So he's touching the dad icon, and it's giving him the memories.
You can't touch people, Liam. There's laws against that.
He could touch his dad.
Whoa.
So he has the memories
of his...
You're
getting weird on this podcast.
Yeah, a little bit. He remembers his mom, which is a very, of course, established character that's been mentioned many times throughout the show. He thinks about his mom, and it makes him feel the love. And he uses the final love bomber to destroy the giant CGI abomination.
Yes.
And then it becomes a regular. He just turns back into Kamen Rider Extremer again.
Gold Extremer.
Gold Extremer. Kamen Rider Gold Extremer. And they have a fight. And then they have a big fight, and there's 15 heroes. And then they beat
him. They do the stupid shit where they keep running in and out of the fight and saying a dumbass catchphrase. And taking turns saying their stupid goddamn line.
They beat him, and then Takeru gets the wish in the Great Eye. And I was almost right. He wishes to bring back everyone who was killed by the Ganmisers. Everyone whose souls got eaten.
I think our theory about Takeru specifically wanting to kill Adele and taking every opportunity he can to do it is 100% true. Because he just stops just short of saying, I want everyone who died brought back except Adele.
Everyone who was killed brought back. Everyone was killed by the Ganmisers. Not by me.
Only by the Ganmisers.
Everybody who I killed, I wish to remain dead. I did it for a reason. And the ghost, the Great Eye, says, just like we said, you know what, Takeru? You're such a great guy. I'll bring you back to life anyways. So he does it.
Yeah, the Great Eye is the 3 millionth person in this episode to say that.
So he brings Ghost back, and then he flies. He's a fucking, he's an angel. He's like an old-style biblical angel. He's a giant eye with like 6 wings, and he flies off into space.
He's the Golden Snitch.
He's the Golden Snitch. He goes back to his home planet.
He goes back to his home planet, Hogwarts.
Hogwarts. And Takeru has a rice bun. Jeff, I probably don't have to ask.
No, I didn't like it. I feel like that last scene would have had a hell of a lot more impact if it would have been established at literally any point in the entire series that Takeru couldn't eat human food and he missed it.
I think they mention a couple times...
I don't think
that
they did.
That ghosts can't eat human food. Like, remember when Alan first becomes human and he says, "Damn, I gotta eat some fucking food." But in reference to Takeru specifically, no, they never bring it up.
Takeru's sitting around eating food all the time in this show. Like, they're sitting around the table eating at the beginning of literally every scene that somebody runs in and says, "Dai Hendai."
Well, actually, now I'm curious. Does it ever actually show Takeru putting food in his mouth, or do they just put a plate in front of him and make him feel better?
It doesn't show anybody putting food in their mouth, except Alan. Alan is the only character who eats in this entire series.
They eat, and Takeru just sits there and watches, so he feels included.
I guess.
Like, yeah, good. And then they just throw his food out. That's what was going on throughout the whole show.
There's a character on Star Trek Deep Space Nine named Odo.
If you mention Star Trek one more time,
he's made out of gel. He's a goo man.
It's gonna be a solo podcast.
He can't. Well, I'm. Anyway, Star Trek. he's a goo man, and he can't eat. So he forms his goo into a glass with liquid in it, and drinks his own goo.
That's disgusting.
Back into himself. So that he can mimic people eating, so he could sit at a table and eat with them.
That's disgusting.
Yes, it is. I just thought that was... I should mention something from a good show while we're talking about this one.
Thanks. Well, we already talked about Genom. He's from a show that looks pretty good.
The funny thing about Genom's seat is that the fight choreography is suddenly spectacular when he's on screen.
And then it's terrible again
for the rest of the episode.
They start putting an effort in right when he appears on screen.
Did they bring in, like, the Kamen Rider X-Aid fight choreographer?
I wonder.
Just for that one scene?
Here's what I'm thinking. I have zero evidence to back this up. Here's my theory.
I have a theory as well.
Okay, so X-Aid, or Genom comes in. I think what they must have done, because I doubt they would bring in a second fight choreographer just for those few shots. They probably said, "Hey, here's Genom. Here's what he can do. Make sure you show it all off," or something. Make sure you show off a bike. Make sure you show off his kick. So you get all that. Like, it's like a big showcase. Hey, kids, watch X-Aid. So here's what
I imagine.
Okay, show me your theory.
Kamen Rider X-Aid's fight choreographer is the same fight choreographer from every series.
Mm-hmm.
They use the same one. This is my theory. And the reason why Ghost's fights all suck dick is because Ghost's suit have almost no articulation in them.
Yeah. The suits themselves are mostly fine, but once you get up to the higher levels, once you get to Infinity and the Ganmisers and Deep Spectre, I imagine they're way harder to move around in.
I feel like they toned down the fight choreography during any scene that had a bulky suit in it. And I mean, even if you go back and look at Ghost's fight choreography, the only cool thing he did even during his first appearance was fly around.
Yeah, I missed that.
He didn't really do a lot of kicks or anything.
I missed that. If I had to summarize this episode, I would say it's undeserved. The show sort of acts very lofty. It sort of puts on airs of being this big climactic finish, this big heartfelt ending, without really actually being any of that. This is my favorite part of the whole episode, is when everybody stands in a row and talks about how much they love Takeru while he's running off to fight Kamen Rider Extremer.
And then they all scream in unison, "Takeru is our hero."
I just, it's the perfect encapsulation of the show is telling you that it's more than it is. That's what this whole episode is. The show trying to convince you desperately that it's more than it is. And that's what everything with his mother was. Where if I was, like, the whole time I was watching it, I was like, damn. Like, I wish this was an actual plot arc in the show.
Yeah, and not this, it would have been shit nice that we're... to know he knew his mother and had these memories and shit.
Like, this should have been just, like, we're saying this all the time with the last few episodes of Ghost, but, like, this should have been episode 20 or something that we bring this up. Instead, he's just suddenly got a mom. He's like, I'm dying, oh God, and then he's just suddenly has this mom that we were never told about before. And he's like, damn, that mom sure was cool.
I get... One episode ago, he said he wished he knew his mom.
That's true.
I guess that happened.
Yeah, that's the thing with all the ending of this show is that just everything is shoved into these last, like, five, six episodes, and nothing really has any time to breathe. It's just 1,000 plot elements chucked in there, and shit just happens and happens and happens, and then now it's over. And then
the weird part about that...
What?
Is that it's not like it was very busy in the middle.
No,
it's not
God.
Like the middle of the show had all this shit happening, so they couldn't possibly put in these plots that would have made it decent.
The story of the show, 90% of the story of the show happens in the first and last 5 episodes.
That's true.
Everything in between is filler.
The only difference is, I don't know. How many episodes did it take Makoto to become a good guy?
Oh, God. 4 or 5, maybe?
I think it was like 6 or 7.
6 or 7?
Yeah. So, like, the first 10 episodes or whatever, the only thing that happened in between is, like, Necron became a good guy. That's it.
Necron became a good guy. And I guess...
And that was certainly an entertaining story arc.
Yeah, Adele became evil. Another fantastic
Adele
one. Adele became evil-er.
He didn't even become evil-er is the thing. He went from standing around in the background to being the main villain.
He got promoted, but then he got demoted in the last episode when he fucking died.
He died, and his entire family thanked his murderer for doing it.
Look, he had his chance. Fucking Adele had his chance, and he fucked it up. Okay, so he dies.
That's a good lesson to teach children. No matter how far gone you are, you can still be brought back to the good side, except past this point.
This is where we draw the line. Don't kill any dads.
If you start murdering dads, you're out.
Even Takeru. Even Takeru is going to bring you back after that shit.
But Takeru is the greatest.
I know, he's my hero.
He's everyone's hero.
What a great guy.
You know, he's completely flawless.
I heard one
Takeru
time...
Takeru is a fucking, like... If Takeru was a... like a character created by a fan for this television series, which he seems to be,
mm-hmm.
he would absolutely be a Mary Sue.
Oh, totally.
Everyone loves him, everything revolves around him, even when it shouldn't. People thank him for murdering their brother.
he would be written as, like, he was present when the 7 legendary riders defeated fucking Shocker. That was the day he was born on the mountaintop right next to it, and he saw...
Hey, now, he is Takeshi Hongo's greatest disciple.
Okay, yeah.
For real. I'm not even making that up, everybody.
So sad.
He is absolutely fanfiction.net character of the month, Tenkuji Takeru.
He's the worst. I hated him up till the end. He doesn't change or develop at all or have an inch. He doesn't, like, the characters around him have more interesting arcs than him, and that's not saying much. All their arcs are shit. Except for Makoto's, who's, like, kinda has something going on, but Takeru doesn't have any...
Makoto's arc was over, like, 10 episodes into the show.
Yeah, Makoto has an arc. Everybody else has arcs. They're not good. Makoto has one decent arc at the beginning. Everyone else has shitty arcs. Takeru has no arcs.
Takeru learns to not be a lazy crybaby, but he continues being a lazy crybaby afterwards.
He's this character. He's the same as usual, right? He's this happy-go-lucky, good, perfectly good-hearted dude, and then he becomes a shitter for, like, one episode so they can make him not be a shitter and pretend like he developed, but then he just goes back to being the same guy. They're trying to convince us that the show is more than it is. And it's not.
I remain unconvinced.
You won't trick me, you shitters.
The final image of this entire series, I guess there's another episode, but who cares?
That's
the final image of the story is the most punchable face known to man and I saw it before the episode got subbed, thanks to friend of the show, Ian, Billy Kumo.
Oh, yeah.
Who tweeted at us.
Glad I got that little preview.
I felt sick. I felt ill looking at his fucking awful face with shitty rice all over it.
Shitty rice. I bet that rice tastes like crap. Fuck you.
It just,
I'm surprised it wasn't takoyaki that was his first meal.
You know, when when he pulled the box out, I was like, is this gonna fucking be takoyaki? But no. It's been established prior that, Onari is a onigiri man.
He's a rice bun man. If I hadn't eaten for a year, and someone said that my first food that I would come back to eat would be a rice bun, I would smack it right out of his fucking hand.
No, you wouldn't, you dumbass.
Yes, I would.
You haven't eaten in a year.
I haven't eaten in a year.
If somebody was like, here's a Hot Pocket, you'd be like, bah, bah,
bah, bah. No, I would demand a nice hot plate of fish and chips, or perhaps some poutine. Yeah.
Maybe you can go back to the year without food again, you asshole.
Nope. I'm excited.
I guess we learned here first that Liam is an ungrateful dickhead.
I'm excited for the year without Ghost and all the following years without Ghost that we're going to have. Until I'm dead.
I'm excited for the rest of my life now. I will say that Ghost has done that for me.
I've got a new lease on life. It feels great.
It does. It feels good to have that weight lifted off our shoulders, doesn't it? We no longer have to watch the shit heap.
Oh my god. Oh, thank Christ. What else did I hate about this episode? I want to say one thing I loved. Like, unironically, I'm not even joking, I loved that Urson turns out to be a cat.
Yeah, that's perfect. I like that too. That was great as well.
It makes perfect sense. I wish it was just that shot when he's like, oh, fuck, Urson, what are we going to do? And it shows a cat. And you're like, ah, it's clever. And then later on, they're like, what's the cat? The cat is Urson, kids. And then he looks right at the camera. You don't need that. It was perfect. It was a perfect little joke when it was first done.
Did you notice that when the sage wakes up in his regular body that it's inside the Tenkuji temple?
Yeah, they just had that in the attic the whole time. One knew.
Did none of them notice that?
Like, it wasn't behind a secret door or anything. It was just, like, up some stairs.
Did no one ever go upstairs in this temple ever since Ryu died?
That was Ryu's room. He's like, don't ever fucking go in there.
Takeru, there's a lot of power being drained into that room for some reason. Did you leave a light on?
Don't go in there.
The sage pops up and goes, you don't need to worry about that. It just happens. It happens like that. Don't go in there.
Do not touch. What else? I can't stand the Great Iser. I mean, I already knew that, but he's just a Gammiser. Oh, humanity is... I'm a robot. I'm a perfect robot. Humanity is not perfect like me. Better kill them all. What a fucking compelling villain he was.
It's a villain we've already seen before. We might have seen last season.
In half of this show, and also at the end of Drive, and probably a couple more times in Rider. I'm sure it's been done.
Does anybody made an animated GIF of the bowling pin-looking Gammiser when it did that ridiculous turn towards the camera when it did a zoom-in on it? Like ages ago.
Yeah, the bowling pin monster was forever ago.
It wasn't actual bowling pins. It's the Gammiser I'm always saying looks like it's made out of bowling pins.
Oh, yeah.
And it did that weird effect where, like, they change camera lenses halfway through it, so it, like, makes the scene look fucked up for a second.
Yeah, the Gammiser scenes like to do that.
And it did, like, this weird, like, jerking turn towards the camera, and every now and then I remember that and just start laughing.
Ghost has top-level cinematography.
Like, the thing that made me laugh the hardest in this episode, I think, is at the end when he gets dropped out of the sky and they just show the footage from the opening.
Yeah.
How lazy can you possibly be?
They open with a recreation, or they end, rather, with a recreation of the opening. Yep. Yep.
Oh, my God.
Look, I mean, like I said before, like I said when we discovered the Great Iser, is there a more appropriate way to finish this show than on, like, a really limp, lazy note?
No. It goes with the rest of the series.
Yeah, that's it. Just, like, a little peak of potential. But then they fucked it up. It sucks. It's perfect.
I wonder if the people at home are excited that they can hear us talk about anything besides ghosts now.
I'm excited. I mean, we still have the after story, but who cares? The curse is
lifted. I might not even watch that one.
I'm just going to watch an episode of fucking, like, you know, fucking Kiva or something. Let's talk about that next week.
I'm going to watch an episode of Pete and Pete. And I'll just talk about that while you talk about Ghost, the last episode. You'll be like, man, that was so dumb, the way he felt he needed to, like, take up for that kid. And I'm gonna be like, yeah, wasn't it stupid when he fucking fought the ocean? That was dumb.
What the fuck are you talking?
Have you never watched Pete and Pete?
No, I've never seen, I don't even know what it is.
Pete and Pete was this weird Nickelodeon show that starred these two brothers, and they were both named Pete. Okay, and it was the most fucking surreal television show I don't remember ever seeing. Like, it's almost Twin Peaks level of surreal.
That sounds awesome, actually.
And the younger kid is friends with this weird, like, hobo man named Artie. And Artie calls himself the strongest man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of the most famous episodes, he picks a fight with the ocean to prove how strong he is. Sounds He's like, just a crazy man. Like, nothing in this show is, like, outlandish or ridiculous except the people. They're all crazy.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's like the opposite of Ghost, where all the plot elements are outlandish and ridiculous, and all the characters are boring, plain, milquetoast pieces of shit.
It is. People will probably be able to tell what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They'll be like, wait a second, he said a character did something interesting. He didn't watch the show.
That character had a clear motivation behind their actions. There's no way that was Ghost. You're bullshitting.
Ghost had a clear motivation. It was that humanity's potential is infinite.
Yeah, my soul's gonna burn bright.
You know what would have been great is if he said humanity's potential is gonna be infinite, and then the Great Eyeser just, like, beat his ass and was like, potential doesn't mean anything unless you live up to it, you idiot.
My favorite part of this episode is when he's like, can you revive everyone? And the Great Eyes is like, you want me to rebuild the buildings and shit too? And Takeru's like, nah, we got it. And she's like,
yeah,
are you sure?
Takeru.
I could just do it in the blink of an eye.
Hundreds of millions of dollars towards reconstruction because you were such a fucking moron.
We can handle it. It'll take years and billions of quadrillions of yen, but we can take care of it.
This was like a Avengers fighting the aliens level shit going down, buildings being exploderated.
Yeah, the laser blows up buildings, but when it touches people, it just takes their soul. It doesn't completely incinerate them.
I thought it was turning them into icons, but then it did, like, a close-up, and they were, like, a ball of energy
instead.
A
squishy blue ball. There was an astronaut that could do just that, and yet somehow this guy is supposed to be so much better.
Oh my god, you're right.
Remember, the astronaut stole everybody's souls on Earth at once, and yet we're supposed to believe that Google Glass is a big threat and that this guy's a big threat when they already did it. See how
you're
little
absolutely
effort,
right.
See how little
the
effort
funny
they
thing
put into
is,
this show.
They were absolutely counting on me and the rest of the audience for the show forgetting that.
Yeah.
And it works for the normal audience because they're all children, and it works for me because I have the brain of a child. No, it works for me because I only have so much, like, random access memory in my brain cage, so I just delete this shit when I'm done talking about it.
There's only so much headspace that you can donate to Ghost, right? I would want to keep it as little as possible.
Absolutely.
Keep that down to, like, a gig at most.
Let's not even...
I got boobies to think about.
Let's not even put a gig in there. What fits on a floppy disk? Oh. I might do that.
Couple kilos...
People will be like, name four characters from Ghost, and my brain will be like, cannot compute.
You could fit
this
the characters.
Over.
You can fit the entire complexity of all these characters on probably like a 36K floppy drive.
Well, that's all that needs to be said about Kamen Rider Ghost.
Yeah, fuck, I'm done talking about it. Genom was the best part.
I still can't believe that the final boss for the series is a recolored movie villain.
Yeah, that's special. That's special.
That is
special.
A special level of horseshit.
Even Drive had Gold Drive so prominent. Even he wasn't the final villain. He was better too. He was a character with motivation.
He had a personality, a motivation,
a connection to one of the heroes.
He was fun to watch.
Yeah, he just happened to be gold. He just happened to have a shitty suit. That's all.
He had a shitty suit. That was it.
This guy has a shitty suit, and everything is shitty. It's all shitty. No good.
That's the series for
it. That's how it is. Genom almost saved the episode, but sadly, no.
I felt, like, genuine joy in my heart during that scene.
Deep in your
and it was weird for me to be watching modern Kamen Rider since Ghost started and feel joy in my heart.
I must be a fucking idiot, because I'm so hyped for X8, I want to watch it right now.
Yeah, I do too. I really wish there wasn't another episode next week of Ghosts.
Yeah. I got some X8 news this week that's got me excited.
Uh-oh. Why don't you tell it to us?
Well, you want to start news?
Yeah.
Alright, here we go. It's time for the news. So, first of all, someone released a video. You can buy the sports gadget right now. You know the little video games that they put into their belt, the Geshats.
Yes.
The sports one is available. The sports one for Genom. And someone has it.
By Huey Lewis in the News.
Sports was when they really came into their own, both commercially and artistically. Someone bought it and made a video about it. Did like a preview of all the features and stuff that the gadgets have. But they're pretty neat. There's like that big transparent part. And it looks like a big transparent part until the base of the gadget shines a light into it. And it hits the glass in such a way that it creates a little image there. In this case, it's a bike. And you stick it in your belt and it projects that image onto the clear part of the front. It's really neat. It's got a lot of sounds. It looks very fun to play with. We're back to Lockseeds again. It's like there's lots of functionality, lots of stuff you can do with just the Geshat. You don't need the belt.
Cool.
So it's really neat. Cool noises. Fun to play with. It'll irritate the shit out of little Hiroshi's parents. I'm definitely going to buy one if the show is good.
I am too.
Like Drive was good, I didn't buy Shift Cars because Shift Cars suck. But if X8's good, I'll buy one. I'll buy a Geshat. They're sick. They're really cool. I'll get a fucking Tattle Quest or something.
Well, yeah. What's the action-adventure one? The one that X8 uses for his level 2?
Fuck. Oh, God, I don't know. Mighty Action something.
Yeah, I want that one.
All I know is Tattle Quest.
It's fitting that, like, the action-adventure form is the main form of the main character.
Why's that?
Because it's the best game type.
I don't know.
Well, if you don't know, then you're an idiot.
I guess you're dumb, then.
Yeah, you are dumb.
So fucking...
Yeah, turned it around.
Yeah, fuck off. I'm so fucking excited for X8.
Undefeatable.
If it's bad, I'm gonna be real sad.
Yeah. You'll see the first podcast we do about the show if Liam just sounds absolutely depressed. Like, he's thinking about ending it all. You can tell in his voice. You'll know that we didn't like X8.
It looks like
it's gonna be good.
I shouldn't get my hopes up. I shouldn't, but it looks really cool.
You really should come in with a little bit of cautious optimism.
I should, after Ghost, yeah. But
I don't even have any.
I'm just so excited to be done with a Ghost, and this thing seems new and interesting.
Yeah, I don't even have any caution on my end either.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy that Ghost is over. I'm like, it can't be that bad. It can't be that bad.
It can't be, mused the fool, having no idea what was coming.
Exactly. This could be the series from here on, and we just fall out of love with it, and Rider Club Radio ends up in a dumpster behind a warehouse
somewhere. Dumpster right next to all those unbought icons.
Icons sold well?
I don't know. I don't have sales data on them yet. I'm very curious. I'd like to know. Because that's the real... That's the end game of Kamen Rider, is how well the toys sell.
I hope Ghost sold like shit.
I hope so, too. I hope they get the fucking message.
I hope they have to take the money out of the actor's pay. I hope they have to take the money out of the writers' pay. Like, all the writers have to give back all the money they made.
Yeah, the actors are hapless victims. Even if they're bad actors, they're victims, right? It's money on the... It's food on the table. They gotta be there. The writers are the true... The producers, the directors.
Yeah.
They're the ones.
Oh, I also like the part when the Greatizer comes through the eye or whatever, and Shibuya and Narita are just, like, sleeping. They're just in, like, sleeping bags.
They got their jammies on. They know.
They just flip the fuck out.
They know that they're not going to stop anything that comes through there, so. They're just like, well, you want to take a nap or something?
Do you want to take a nap together? No homo. All right, fine, but I get to be the big spoon this time.
Fully clothed.
Of course.
This is a children's
show. Get your jammies on.
Go upstairs to the go past the electronic techno coffin and get your jammies on.
I like how one of them yelled, "Let's run," when the shit was going down, too. I was like, why are they so realistic? They're surrounded by these blank slates of characters.
Yeah.
But every reaction they have to everything is 100% realistic.
They see Kamen Rider Extremer and they're like, we should probably get the fuck out of here.
Hey, there's a giant golden eye monster in the middle of the city. Let's fuck off.
90% of the time, they're just standing in the background unsure of what to say because the Mozart monster just did a backflip and started erasing all sound. What do you even say to that?
You just watch.
What the fuck is going on?
I'd like to read their blogs. I wonder if they have, like, a blog about, you won't believe the shit that's happening.
Everyone comments like, yeah, okay, shut up, Narita. We know you didn't actually see that crap, you crazy dude.
And then the giant gold monster appears in the middle of the city, and everybody's like, oh my
god. Oh my god, he was trying to tell us.
We should have listened.
We should have got the fuck out of there.
He still looks like a fucking loser, though.
Another TV spot came out for X-Aid this week. It reveals nothing that we didn't already know, and doesn't show any new footage, but nope. you can look at it. I'll put it on the blog. You can look at it. It's like 15 seconds.
At the end of this episode, isn't it?
No, this is another one. Another one.
Okay.
Look at all this TV stuff coming out for X-Aid.
Yeah, it looks fun, man. It looks fun. I'm excited.
It looks fun.
I'm excited to feel fun again.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited to just be interested. Like, it's the same when you start watching a new Rider series on your own. You're, like, stepping into this brand new world, all these new characters, and it's exciting.
I want to have as much fun watching Kamen Rider as I do playing Rocket League.
God, Rocket League's the best fucking game. It's the best fucking game.
Here's the lowdown, everybody. I've been trying to get Liam to play Rocket League forever. And he finally just buckled for no reason. He was like, alright, I'll get it.
He messaged me on Twitter. It was like 8 p.m. or something. And he was like, you should buy Rocket League. And I was like, fucking fine. And I bought it. And it was the best decision I ever made.
I've never heard glee in Liam's voice before than when we were playing Rocket League. That's when I first heard it.
It's so good.
It's a fun game.
It awakened my dead soul.
I want to watch a Kamen Rider series that makes me that into it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are lots that I got super into.
Yeah, me too.
It's just I want to watch a new one that makes me that into it. I was pretty excited for Gaim every week. I want to be excited for X-Aid every week.
Yeah, do you remember when we were watching Gaim and we would just be like, holy shit, what the fuck is even gonna happen?
We would, every week you're like, oh, I wonder what's gonna happen next, because shit was constantly happening every week.
We would sit around and, like, bicker about what was gonna happen next, what we thought was gonna happen.
I really wish we were doing this podcast back then.
Yeah, that would have been entertaining as hell.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
One of our friends was dead set on the idea that Michi and Takatora's dad was going to be the final boss of the series. He was like, he has to be in it.
Of course.
I was like, no one's father is ever in anything.
I heard a theory. So many theories about Helheim were my favorite. I heard my absolute favorite one, was that Helheim was just the world outside of Zawami, and they just kept everyone in there and didn't tell them.
See, my favorite one was Helheim was the future.
Yeah, that was a pretty
The company
one.
Was actually causing it by opening the rifts.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a predetermination paradox.
Oh, like in trying to stop it, you accidentally cause it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
I thought
funny.
That was awesome. I remember being hype as fuck when it was revealed what Helheim actually was, though.
Yeah, that was crazy. And I like that it was never
no spoilers.
I like that it was never 100% explained.
No.
They never quite finish it. Just leave it mysterious. I remember my favorite fan theory, someone was envisioning an ending. He was like, oh boy, I can't wait for the big ending where Koda, Kaido, Michi, and Takatora all team up to beat whoever the big bad is going to be. And this was like episode 5 or something. He was dead serious, and I was like, I remember thinking about that while watching the ending of Gaim and laughing my ass off.
I am nowhere near blameless for dumbass opinions when it comes to Gaim, though, because when Michi was introduced and everything, I was like, oh, he's going to have a little arc where he learns what it means to be a great sidekick.
Nope.
He's going to be Coda's bestest friend at the end of it. And everybody was like, are you fucking kidding? He's, like, nefarious as hell. And I was like, no, he's going to learn.
He does the opposite of that.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Just watch. If you haven't watched
Gundam, he gets Coda a bad Christmas present.
Yeah. He I almost said a big one, but no.
He ruins Christmas.
He ruins Christmas for everyone. He steals Christmas. That's the ending of Gaim. Just, if you haven't watched Gaim, you probably watched Gaim. It was like the most popular series ever, but if by chance you haven't, if the fans turned you away from it, don't let them turn you away from it. It's a really good show.
There's that whole, like, a lot of people, that's the only series they've watched.
Yeah.
And I like Gaim a lot, but I wouldn't rate it as my favorite Kamen Rider.
I would. It's top five, maybe even top three, but not my favorite.
It's somewhere in the top. It's in the top 100.
Top 100.
I had more fun watching Drive.
Yeah. You had more fun watching Drive than Gaim?
No. Watching Drive than Ghost. Oh. I had a lot of fun watching Drive.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
There was, like, back and forth in our Drive episodes about whether it was good or not, even.
Drive.
Sometimes we would disagree.
Drive took time to find its footing. Yeah. But it was a good show. I liked it a lot in the end.
I feel like Drive is what made me give Ghost so many chances.
Yeah, because Drive fumbled for a while and then got really good. Ghost fumbled and then fell down a flight of stairs and then kept fumbling and then hit its head and then it was...
Kept stepping on rakes. It would turn and step on a rake and then turn and step on a rake.
And then it just fell over in the yard and cried for 10 episodes, and that was the end.
I hate Ghost.
I hate Ghost as well. Oh, I hate Ghost. I've never hated... I've never, like... I don't hate pieces of media a lot, because usually I'm just like, oh, I don't like it. I just won't watch it or whatever. Yeah. It sucks. I'll stay away from it. But Ghost, since I watched it the whole way through, I have, like, a disdain for, like, a passionate dislike for it.
If there's any piece of fiction that I outright hate, and I feel like I have the right to hate since I watched all of it,
you suffered
it's Ghost.
It. Yeah. You paid the price.
I might dislike other pieces of media, including your favorite. Whatever you like most. That's what I hate.
Your favorite book or whatever the fuck. I don't know. I don't like it.
It doesn't matter. Whatever you love, I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Write into writerclubradio@gmail.com and tell me why the thing you like is good.
Yeah. Fucking state your case.
My trash bin's kind of empty lately.
The Kamen Rider The Diner. Got a bunch of Amazon's themed stuff. This happened a little bit ago, but I don't think we talked about it.
No, it all looks delicious, though.
It all looks delicious, and my favorite entry on the menu is Mamoru's favorite burger. You can get a burger that's Mamoru's favorite burger.
I would be very leery of that burger.
His favorite burger turned out to be...
Spoilers!
Can we spoil Amazon's?
No.
His favorite burger turned out to be nefarious.
It but was a nefarious burger. It was an evil-type burger. Yeah, I would be... If somebody was like, here, try this burger, and I'd be like, oh, what's it called? Mamoru's favorite burger. I'd be like, all right, take this back to the kitchen.
I'll leave it, thanks.
This back to the kitchen before I call the police.
There's Nanaha's chicken platter, which is just a simulation of what Nanaha did with those chickens after they got too old. there's smoothies that look like Amazon Alpha and Omega, like with their faces in them.
Yeah,
which is
those
brilliant.
Look delicious, man.
Kamen Rider The Diner is my Jerusalem.
I want to go there so bad. They have the Great Leader's throne.
Yeah, they have a throne there you can sit on.
I want to sit on that so bad.
it's gonna be cool. That's go to Kamen Rider The Diner and order the Amazon's platter and think of me when you do it.
I feel the way about the Great Leader chair, like the Shocker Leader chair, the way people would probably feel about the Game of Thrones throne.
The Iron Throne, yeah.
Yeah, like you want to sit in it so bad. The only chair I want to sit in more is Captain Kirk's.
Of course you do, you fuck.
I want to sit in it and feel an inflated sense of self-importance.
So we found out this week...
Kirk's the best captain, fuck off. Okay. Anyway, what were you saying?
We found out this... We found out this week who does the voice of the gamer driver. And it's a fellow named Hironobu Kageyama.
Oh, he's my favorite.
If you don't... you don't know him, Jeff, but he is actually your favorite. He performed the OPs to all the Garo shows.
Oh, yeah! Yeah, I think I knew that already. I read about that.
He did a bunch of Sentai as well, opening themes. Just a few. I can't name them off the top of my head. It was some fucking shows. But he's doing...
Gaara's openings have, like, operatic singing in them.
That's him.
Is that him?
I don't know. I have no idea. I've never heard any of them. But he performs them, and he's going to do the voice for the X-Aid belt. So pretty excited for that. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. You haven't even seen Gaara. Don't front on me.
Well, I mean, I know. I just figured, like, here's this guy, and I figured Jeff would know him. So I figured I'd let my fucking friend know about it, because I thought he'd be interested.
It. Yeah. I already knew, but piece I appreciate shit. It.
Do you wanna know something rider related that I did this week?
Sure.
I started.
I'm gonna look up who gave that to us real quick.
Okay. Remember that dude last week wrote into us about phone games?
Yeah.
So I tried out a phone game. I tried out Kamen Rider Storm Heroes, and I've been addicted to it completely since I started playing it. It's a categorically bad game. It's a phone game, right? It's like it's totally brainless gameplay with like nothing going on. But you use these stupid little coins, and you put them into a little gashapon machine, a little digital gashapon machine, and you get riders to use on your team. So you build a team, a little dream team of your favorite riders, and you fight mooks all day. And it's pretty fun. Like, it's fun putting in... They throw free coins at you all the time.
Sounds like shit.
It's so good, though, because you get to build a little team, and they have, like, finishing attacks...
Liam, I'm starting to get worried about you.
No.
You were playing a free runner game, endless runner, not long ago.
I'm not playing it anymore, okay? I stopped. I quit cold turkey. I'm on this now.
Liam is, like, falling headfirst into the casual gaming market.
I moved from acid to heroin. I'm on Kamen Rider fucking Storm Heroes now. But, like, every fucking rider is in there, too. I unlocked one of the first riders I got was Evil Shocker Rider number 3. You can play as... fucking everyone, every form too. You can get like this the base form, and then you can get the side grades. Like all the Ghost side grades are there, all of Drive side grades are there, all the shit's
there.
Well,
if I can play as Ghost side grades,
yeah. Oh, aren't you excited?
I this doesn't sound like fun, Liam,
but it's that phone game.
It does sound like fun.
It's that fucking fake feeling of accomplishment when you pull a good rider out of the gashapon machine and you're like, yes, you fucking got him. I got I was lucky enough to pull like Blade King form really early on, and he's been carrying me through the game because he's so strong.
There's something like that reaches the lizard part of our brain, like the most unevolved portion in our mind, that mobile games and free to play games and anything that has like a loot crate in it.
Anything where you pull a thing out, a mystery thing.
Yeah, that shit gets in your brain, and there's no way to get it out. Like, I've never bought any crates for anything, or crate keys or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I was talking about playing Rocket League earlier. There are these Champions crates that they put in recently.
Oh, fuck
and
that.
And it's like, you could get any of this shit. And in the back of my mind, it's like, you want that. Want that shit.
You have a small chance of getting that shit you want.
You want that. You want that. And I hold back the tide, but man, that is an id... That is super ego fighting the id hard.
The thing is, like, those crates cost money, which is horseshit about them. The rider crates, they throw little coins at you for doing everything. You get so many. So you can all the riders you can ever want.
It's gonna be like other Japanese phone games, though, where they throw all these coins at you for a certain period of time, and then their coins dry the fuck up.
Oh, you've been playing for 30 days. You're good enough. You don't need these coins anymore, right?
Buy coins, only $4.99.
Yeah, coincidentally, here's this button. It's I can't say it's a good game, but I'm enjoying it. If you really like Rider, you should play it. It'll suck your shit.
I'll think about it.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna. Is that all the news for this week?
That's all the news, yeah.
The news about your life?
That's the Liam update. Tune back next week.
Why don't we talk about Animal Sentai Juojo episode 30?
Yeah. This is the episode where they hunt the whale.
The episode where it turns out Juo Whale is a giant asshole.
That's the summary. Jeff, what'd you think?
I really like this episode. I especially love... spoilers in the whole podcast, you should know that. I love when Bungley and Kubar
is the
guy. He like, turns traitor against Guinness.
Yeah.
Bungley does not bungle it this episode. Bungley and Kubar are fighting, and then Bungle's like, hey, I'll help you defeat Genos. And Kubar's like, oh shit, he knows my plan. I guess I'll help him. And then he poisons the fucking ocean.
What a monster.
Yeah, what an asshole. I feel like that probably would have had a little bit more, like, it would have felt like the stakes were higher if we saw any aquatic life whatsoever. Kubar turns traitor. I wonder what's going to happen with that, because he shows up and it's, like, how did the Deathgalians know to send their dumb troops there if what's-your-face with the fucked-up teeth?
Narya.
If Narya hadn't been spying.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's going to get revealed and they're going to be like, actually, Kubar, we know your stupid plan.
I like that they're always moving somewhere with the story, with this. They never stop.
I absolutely love factions amongst villains.
Yes, when they start breaking down, that's the best.
I love it. I love it when, like, a faction forms and they start working against each other and the heroes.
Yeah.
I love that.
I also like that they managed to build a story out of, like, we just gotta go swimming and find this whale. And they fucking made a whole episode out of everyone trying to chase this whale through the ocean. And it was good. Yeah. It was pretty good. It was
a good episode.
There was a lot of actual decent robot scenes in this episode that I usually hate. But they go into the ocean and they're in their robots. And they have this shot that they use sometimes that I love. Where it zooms in on the cockpit and seamlessly shows the character inside of it.
Because I love that.
A lot of the time it's really easy to see the robots as just a guy in a costume or like a big toy, the big stupid CGI thing. I think that shot is really necessary. It creates that sort of connection in your brain that there's someone riding inside of it that I forget really easily.
Absolutely. That,
like, the show doesn't seem to bring it across very often, but this episode seems to make an extra effort to do it. I like that.
There's two very refreshing things in this episode that I loved.
Okay.
One, a character gets fired up and does not succeed.
Are you talking about our friend Misao? Yeah,
Misao gets, like, in every other episode when Misao gets fired up, he succeeds afterwards. And in every other Japanese thing ever, when a character gets fired up, they succeed. So it was really refreshing to see him get, like, all pumped up and jazzed up. He's like, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna prove myself, and then he fucks it.
It's failure after failure with him. I especially like the bit where he takes his fishing rod, which I love. It is a fishing rod. And he's like, I'll fish that Bungle shitter out of the ocean. And he fishes Sayla out instead.
And she flops around on the ground like a fish.
And that it's able to create a little one-on-one with Yamato and Bungle underwater without leaving the audience with the question of why the fuck isn't Sayla there? Why aren't they tag-teaming him? It's a little joke, but it also serves a small story purpose to create a little showdown. It's quite clever, actually.
It is clever. The second thing that I absolutely loved is that they keep coming up with plans to gain Cube Whale's trust, and it backfires completely.
Yeah. he doesn't let anyone get close.
That was refreshing as well as Whale.
Oh, fuck off. There's too many Mega Beast Hunters that he's dealt with in his life. He doesn't let no one get near.
I feel like the whole of the next episode is going to be Yamato proving himself to Cube Whale.
Yeah, it's going
to
be a cool little character arc, I bet.
And Cube Whale's going to be like, actually, this kid's pretty cool. He's not as good as Takeru, but I guess I'll let him team up with him.
I can't wait for the finale of Juojo where they all stand in a line and talk about how much they love Takeru. Remember that guy from like 6 weeks ago? 6 months ago?
Wasn't he great?
God, I miss him.
There's a little bit of standard Toku problem in this episode where Yamato transforms into his gorilla form.
Mm-hmm.
When it's been proven his gorilla form can't really fight that well against Bungle, but his whale form, like, fucks him up.
If you are in a show and you have multiple forms and you start in your strongest form, you're probably going to lose, unless it's the very end of the story.
That's true.
You gotta build up to it.
They have meta knowledge.
Yeah,
is what you're telling me.
As long as he starts with gorilla or eagle, he's gonna win. It's a guaranteed strategy.
Eagle is his coolest form.
It's the best looking form. I like whale a lot. I really like the whale suit, but eagle looks a little better.
Yeah, I agree. I like the little bit of differentiation between eagle and the other suits having the gold.
Yeah, the gold mask. Beak. The beak being the mouthpiece is fucking brilliant, too.
Yeah, it is. It's that little bit of differentiation that I feel like the lead character needs in a Super Sentai to show you that he's the leader.
Mm-hmm.
You can infer that he's the leader because he's red. But, I mean, if you think about Sun Vulcan, like, Vol Eagle has those yellow wing stripes down the edge of his visor.
Yeah, yeah.
And none of the other characters have anything like that.
Yeah,
they just have forehead ornaments.
Just that extra mile is good.
And that lets you know that this guy's the most important guy.
Yeah, there he is.
Visually, that's a really good way to communicate it.
Yeah, this episode was great. I'm excited for the next one.
Me too. I'm always excited for the next episode of Juojir.
Yeah. I hope. I know it's probably not going to happen, but I hope they do a little thing with X-Aid, because the formula is there. They both got video games.
That'd be the perfect setup to have them fight each other for a minute, as well.
Yeah.
Because the villains all use video game shit, a video game guy shows up one day.
Look at these bugsters. Look at these death galleons.
Same shit.
Anyways, that's Juojir. It's good.
Juojir's so good.
It's a good show.
I can't recommend it highly enough. If you're still listening to this podcast and you haven't watched an episode of Juojir, you really are doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah, really.
Especially if you're watching Ghost.
Oh my god. How many of our listeners are still watching Ghost? So many people are not watching Ghost anymore. The smart ones all
dropped out. We get several tweets a week saying that they can't handle it anymore. we've got that for months now.
It's like a marathon where you're being pelted by oranges the whole way, and you just have to decide when to give up.
Getting pelted by icons the whole way. Cheap plastic orbs.
Ah, that would hurt. Get one of those thrown at you.
And every time you get hit, you'd have to hear the dumbass jingle.
No, icons don't make sounds. They're cheap pieces of shit.
Oh, God, you're right.
Yeah.
You know, the only jingle in the entire series that I absolutely love, and that I could listen to a million times over, is Spectre's standard jingle, which you just never hear past a certain point in the series. They always cut it off.
Like when the actual rap when he transforms, or the one where his belt is...
No, like when it's just saying Bad Shitty Amino.
Oh, yeah.
Over and over and over again. That's the hypest song.
It's
my fucking jam.
I like Infinities. I like Infinities a lot.
Infinities is good.
It sings it as this, like, operatic thing.
I like Spectre's better.
Yeah, okay, well, let's see.
I like Spectre better in general. It's just, he's a better character as well.
Like I said, he's the only character in the show that had a good arc at any point.
He's a better character, he has a better suit, and he has a better motorcycle.
Yeah.
Also, I laughed out loud when they were driving down the street, and Takeru is driving Alan on the back of his motorcycle.
Yeah, poor Alan. Alan was worthless to the very end.
He really was. Supposed to be some big thing that he was turning to the good side, but all he did was help Makoto for the rest of the series.
They could have kicked his fucking ass if he had stayed as a bad guy.
Yeah.
Every single week they would have done it. But,
what a biggity bitch.
They gave you two whole episodes desperately trying to convince you, no, he's relevant, look, he's becoming strong, he's learning how to grab the bun.
Yeah, he learned.
He learned. You learned nothing.
But that's enough of that. Why don't we read some email question?
Okay.
Our email question is from Ice Tyrant, who says, with Ghost coming to an end, what about it will you be happiest to see gone? Takeru's stupid fucking face.
Just Takeru, all of them.
Yeah. I'm going to have to agree. Just Takeru.
We hate everything about Ghost, and I'm going to be happy to see pretty much all of it gone, except for the suits, some of the suits. But Takeru he's just so front and center, and he's so obnoxious. He's so aggressively mediocre.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
you like Akari, don't you? You think she's like a cutie pie.
I don't like her character. I think she's kind of cute.
She's all right. I'll be excited to have a real cutie pie on the show. Cutie Pie that isn't a complete idiot or 15 years old.
Yeah, that's true. There will always be more cutie pies. We can leave Akari.
And I'm excited for Onari to never be on screen again.
I'm excited to never ever look at Onari or hear his voice or see his face ever.
I'm excited for Rider Club Radio to be over.
I'm excited for my life to end pretty soon, hopefully.
Keep playing in traffic.
Yeah, they keep hitting the brakes too fast.
Also, not Kamen Rider related, But have you ever read Superman Red Son? If so, what did you think of it?
I liked it.
I love Superman Red Son.
I can't say I loved it, but I liked it.
I love it, not on the grounds that it's, like, written extremely well or something. It has, like, a really dumb twist.
This twist at the end is fucking dumb.
It's dumb as fuck. Like, the way the story's resolved is really dumb. But, it's really interesting. It's an interesting take on, like, a what-if type story.
Mm-hmm.
And they go all out with it. It's not like, what if Captain America joined the Avengers 2 years later, or whatever the fuck Marvel does with those old what-ifs. What if Wolverine killed the Hulk?
What if he'd probably get brought back in a couple months?
Yeah.
What if Hawkeye shot the Hulk with an anti-Hulk arrow and killed him as part of a big
event?
What
if Aunt May became Galactus's herald? That's real.
Really?
She's called Golden Oldie.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some what-if Marvel comics.
Written by Stan Lee himself.
I read one what-if. It was, what if Galactus was Aunt May's... Like, what if Peter Parker was Galactus instead of Spider-Man?
What?
That's a pretty good one. There's
a really good what-if about, like, what if Spider-Man teamed up with the Punisher?
Oh.
Or is it Wolverine? I think it's Wolverine. Yeah. It's like, what if he teamed up with Wolverine and he becomes, like, an assassin?
Holy shit.
It's really good. He's got a pretty cool costume in that one, too.
But yeah, Red Son, if you haven't read it, it's about if Superman lands on Earth, like, 6 hours later, and the Earth is spun to the point where Russia is facing him and not America, so he becomes this, like, Soviet icon.
He lands on, like, a farm collective in Russia, during the Soviet times, and he becomes, like, best friends with Stalin.
He becomes the fucking leader of the whole country, doesn't he, eventually?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does. He actually becomes the leader of the whole world, almost.
Yeah, pretty much.
At one point, and then he receives a letter.
Oh, I don't like the ending of this story. That's why, that's what kept it.
Yeah, I understand. I wouldn't rate it anywhere in my top, like, 50 comics or whatever, but it's really worth a read, and I like it a lot.
It's no all-star, it's no for all seasons, but it's good.
No. It's no for the man who has everything.
It's definitely no for the man who has everything. But there's like a lot of neat takes on old Superman characters. Like Bizarro is like an American attempt to create their own Superman.
Yeah, and like Green Lantern is like he uses like a piece of the like kryptonite as his ring, and there's like a whole legion of Green Lanterns.
And fucking Batman is like a Russian rebel who doesn't like Superman.
He's got a really nice hat.
He's got a great hat. It's a pretty good comic. I'd recommend it. Yeah. It's worth a read. Fucking dumb ending.
It's a really good comic. It has its faults.
Yeah. Let's talk about Marvel What Ifs. My favorite when I was a kid, I read one. I had one that I read 60 quadrillion times because it was one of the only ones I had, was What If Spider-Man Never Became a Superhero? It was What If He Stopped the Thug that killed his uncle, which is a really interesting
turn. He becomes like a wrestler?
He becomes a TV star, and he stays as a TV star, and he squanders his powers, and in the end, I think Daredevil almost gets killed by a gang of supervillains, because he's just like, he just doesn't care. And he's like, at the end, he's like, oh my god, I fucking wasted my whole life, and he becomes depressed and broken and shitty.
The Watcher's like, this is just one world where Spider-Man's depressed as holy fuck.
One of countless...
Oh god, there was one I want to talk about Ruins.
Oh,
do you know anything about Marvel Ruins?
I read all of it after I read
Ruins
Marvel.
Is literally everyone in the Marvel universe gets cancer instead of superpowers, the comic.
It's so bad. Ruins
it's
so
like,
bad.
It's like an edgy 14-year-old wrote it when, like, Spider-Man wouldn't get his powers when he got bit by a radioactive spider. He fucking killed Mary Jane with semen, whatever.
That's exactly how he gets cancer. He gets super spider cancer in the comic. God, it's so fucking bad.
It's... The Hulk becomes he's a Hulk of cancerous tumors.
The X-Men all have horrible cancer, mutant cancer.
They're real mutants with, like, their hands coming out of their forehead shit. The comic's terrible.
Punisher's not in it, but he's probably got cancer.
Have you ever read Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe?
I read that too, yeah.
Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe is, like, written by an edgy 14-year-old.
It's a
like, Spider-Man couldn't kill the Punisher. Punisher'd shoot him with a gun.
It's a funny comic. It's a very funny outlandish
it
comic.
Is.
I don't think it's intended to be. I like the part where he lures all the X-Men onto the moon. He goes to the X-Men and he says, hey, he writes a fake letter, says, hey, I'm Magneto, I challenge you to a fight on the moon. And then he goes to Magneto and he says, hey, I'm Professor X and the X-Men, we challenge you to a fight on the moon. And so they all go out to the fight on the moon, and they're like, you challenged us to this fight. No, we didn't. Oh, wait, what the fuck? What are we doing here then? And then a nuke goes off that the Punisher planted and just kills all.
Oh, that comic's hilarious.
It's a funny comic. Very funny.
Here's a fun fact about the Marvel Universe. It's in canon has been obliterated 3 or 4 times by Thanos.
He's a prolific dude.
It just keeps coming back.
You can't keep it down.
There's so many good what ifs though. There's so many bad
ones, yeah.
What ifs. Like what if Spider-Man liked the Yankees instead of the Mets?
If he didn't go to that Mets game, he never would have met the Wall.
He never would have fought the Easter Bunny.
It would have changed the entire canon. Gwen Stacy would have lived.
Oh, man. There's a lot of what if Gwen Stacy lived. And the funniest thing about that is when the Scarlet Witch rewrote reality to give everybody what they wanted most.
Uh-huh.
Somehow this was a bad thing. One. It was bad that everybody got what they wanted.
Okay.
And two, Mary Jane was like a supermodel somewhere by herself, and Peter Parker was married to Gwen Stacy.
Oh, wow.
It's very telling. Up.
It's very telling.
It's fucked up, dude.
It's fucked up as well. Yeah, it's pretty fucked. So speaking of Kamen Rider.
Oh, we got another question on Twitter.
Oh, do we?
Anachronism says, hey, not a podcast question or anything, but what Heisei Rider series do you think is the most popular? I'll put it on a podcast if I want, motherfucker.
I will decline to answer with respect to the questionee's wishes.
No.
The questioner.
No, which Heisei series do you think is the most popular?
We're talking about among, like, Western audiences here, just to be clear. Gaim.
Do you?
Yeah, I really, like you said before, there are people who have
only
watched
Gaim. I was
going to
say Forze.
Forze is a close second, I think.
I was going to say Forze, because if you go to any forum, like, whether it's 4chan or Reddit, if you're inclined to do that, or...
Jeff was
like,
about to say something rude, I think.
Or, like, Ranger boards or whatever. If anybody's talking about Kamen Rider, you bet your ass 90% of the conversation is about Forze.
I'm gonna say, among Kamen Rider fans, Forze is probably the most popular, most well-liked. I think among non-Kamen Rider fans, who are much more numerous... It's Gaim. Among people who are like, yeah, I have a passing interest in Kamen Rider, yeah, I've seen some of it, it's Gaim.
I'm going to disagree with your dumbass.
I'm going to disagree
and
with
say
you.
Forze.
No.
Because I don't think there's a huge number of people who have, like, a passing interest in Kamen Rider to only have watched Gaim.
There's
compared to
number.
How many people there are who talk about Forze. Also, Forze was like that.
You can
find a million Forze posts on Tumblr. And those folks haven't watched any other Kamen Rider.
So are they Forze babbies?
I guess. That was probably a thing.
Probably. I don't know. I wasn't
alive.
They
called... When I first started... I wasn't alive. When I first started getting really big into Kamen Rider, like, Double was airing, and people called me a Double baby.
So just whatever... Are there ghost babies?
Yeah, whatever series you started watching, that's what baby you
were.
Baby. So
I'm a
you're
J
a
baby.
Kamen Rider J baby. If that's true, the first thing I watched was the first.
You're the first baby.
No! I'd rather be a not alive baby.
A ghost baby or a devil baby should be a baby that was born while the show was on.
I guess. What show was on in the 1900s when I was born?
What show was on in 1936 when Jeff was born?
I'm a Cagney and Lacey show, baby.
Oh, fuck off. Is that all for questions?
That's all for questions. My answer was right and Liam's is wrong.
I think
and
not.
And if you would like
I
to agree
it was the
with
opposite.
That... If you would like to agree with that, you can send a message to RiderClubRadio@gmail.com. You can also send questions, discussion topics, fun stories you want to share with the class, whatever.
Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Rider Club Radio, and you can see all of our golden treasured tweets that you'll never want to miss.
Yeah, Liam discovered recently that there is a Japanese cafe that opened up very near him called Tendo. And he let everyone know.
Well, it's not near, it's like on the other side of the fucking city, but it is in my city, called Tendo.
We apparently talk about Huey Lewis in the news a lot. Well, so I mean, if you like sports, I like four better if you're myself. Hip to be square,
follow us on Twitter.
You fucker. Yeah, follow us on Twitter anyway. It's a good time.
Yeah, totally.
And thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Good night.
See you.